That would be the question. We're going to be in Psalm chapter number 1 tonight. Psalm chapter number 1. And we're going to look at the whole chapter. And we're going to be preaching some messages out of the book of Psalms. And Psalms, of course, most of them, or a lot of them, were written by David. David being the king of Israel. And many times when he wrote the Psalms, he was on the run from, of all people, his father-in-law. So I hope that none of you have that bad of a father-in-law. But his father-in-law did not like him, Saul, King Saul, and he was jealous of him and was trying to kill him. And so many times he was on the run. And he was fearful of his life. And so he wrote a lot of these Psalms whenever he was in a lot of trouble. And if you know the history of the Bible and the history of its translation, I don't know a whole lot about it. I know some about it, but many of the times the people that God uses are people who are in trouble, people who are distressed, people who are on the run, people who are being oppressed for their faith, people who are imprisoned, people who have been, you know, gone through a lot of things. God uses those kinds of people. And God used David to write the Psalms. And so many times when you get into your life and you're going through your life and you get into trouble, a lot of times people go to the Psalms because they find comfort and they find help there in the Psalms. But really the Psalms are just songs. You could put these to music. Probably the children of Israel used to sing these as songs. And so you could put them to music and you could sing these, and they probably did back then. But we're going to look at Psalm chapter number 1. And it's about the blessed man. The blessed man. That's the title of the message this evening, the blessed man. Now, the meaning of the word blessed means happy. You could put it that way. Happy. So are you happy this evening? Are you blessed? Well, I've been blessed. God could have killed me 1,000 times. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve the life that I have, but God has been gracious to me, and I have been blessed. I don't know if you're happy here this evening, though. Let's read Psalm chapter number 1. He starts out, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we're here this evening. Thank you for bringing us to this moment, to this place tonight. I pray that you would help us to learn something, help us and speak to us tonight. Lord, you know exactly what each heart needs, what's going on in each life that's here this evening, Father. So I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would work accordingly and you would speak to hearts tonight. I pray that you'd help me to preach and help me to say the things that need to be said and refrain from things that don't need to be said, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would imagine if you were to conduct a survey on the secret to true happiness, you go out into town and you talk to people, or you go and you do an internet search, or you look at quotes and you find out what people think are the paths to true happiness. You'd probably get 1,000 different answers. Everyone has a different opinion about what happiness is, what true joy is in this life. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, and we're not going to put a whole lot of weight on what he says, but he says happiness depends upon ourselves. Well, that might be true to some degree, but after a while you keep looking at yourself, you're going to find yourself very unhappy. because there's a lot of things about you and about, well, I can speak for myself, that I don't like. You know, I have a lot of faults and things like that. And so true happiness is not going to be found inside of ourselves. We're going to have to look outside of the stratosphere. We're going to have to look outside of this earth. And a lot of people, they think that happiness is going to be found in riches or fame or fortune or relationships or some sort of thing like that. But you might find some temporary happiness there. You might find some satisfaction there for a while, but then, like I said, those things are going to fall apart. I mean, we live in a broken world. We live in a place where there is faults all around us. Every relationship that you're going to get into, you're going to find something wrong with it. I mean, that money that you have right now, you might not have in 6 months. The riches that you have, the house that you have could burn up. And so that might bring some temporary happiness, but it might also bring some trouble with it as well. You know, you have kids, and man, they're the joy of your life, but sometimes they bring along some kind of trouble as well. But the Bible gives us the secret to true happiness, the secret to true joy. He tells us in this passage right here. We're going to get into what exactly true happiness is, but I want to give you just a side note about the book of Psalms. Now, like I said, the book of Psalms is a book for songs and for worship and for praise to God. And it's worth noting here that as we open up the book of Psalms and we get into this book, that he opens up with the Word of God. He opens up with what truth is. So if you and I are going to worship God and praise God and know God the way that we ought to, it's going to have to be done in truth. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that, well, they're worshiping God and there's a lot of activity going on and they're praising God and in their own way, but is it done in truth? They talk about God, say things about God, but yes, is it true? I mean, everyone's got an opinion. Opinions are relative. You've got to have something concrete to stand on. That's the Word of God. The Bible tells us exactly what the truth of God is. We don't want to be led astray by our own fanciful opinions or our own imagination. A lot of people think, well, you know, God is all love. Well, yes, God is love, but that's not all God is. God is love, but that's not all. God is kind, but he's also a wrathful God. He's all of those things. So we must enter into worship. We must enter into a relationship with God based on the truth. And by the way, that's what I believe true happiness is. It's knowing God. It's worshiping God. It's pleasing God. That's where you're going to find true happiness. You're talking about happiness that is going to last forever. You're going to find it in God, in a relationship with God, but it has to be in truth. Jesus Christ himself had a talk with a lady of Samaria, or a woman of Samaria, and of course she was an adulteress, but boy, she thought she was worshiping God in truth. She thought she knew who God was, but Jesus Christ set her straight, and he told her, he said, you don't know what you're worshiping. You think you do, but you don't. He said, salvation is of the Jews. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ again talked to the Pharisees, and he said, you're worshiping God in vain. You're just going along with your traditions and superimposing them over the Word of God and thinking that you're worshiping God. But they weren't. Paul the Apostle himself said that the Jews had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They didn't know God. They thought they did. That's the importance of the Word of God. That's the importance of the Bible. God has revealed himself in his Word truthfully and openly. He doesn't try to hide anything. Amen. He doesn't try to sugarcoat anything. He shows everything. So we can find out about God by opening up His Word. That way we're not deceived. But we go back to true happiness here. How are we going to be happy in this life? How are we going to be blessed in this life? David gives us four qualities of how to be blessed and how to be a blessed person. Now it says, blessed is the man. We can say, blessed is the man or the woman. It's for anyone, male or female, child, boy, girl. You can be blessed. You can be happy here this evening. Now he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what the first step to happiness is for you and I? Separation. That's the first step to happiness. Well, that's a negative thing. But he gives you three negatives. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. First thing you want to notice there is he is separate in his walk. He's separate in the way that he lives his life. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, there's all kinds of advice out there. There's all kinds of counsel out there. But what this blessed man does not do is he does not let this information get inside of his head and direct his life. Amen. He does not live his life according to the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to take that advice and let it direct his life. Is that true of you here this evening? Do you take bad advice and let it rule your life? Or do you go by the Word of God? Because I tell you what, folks, there's all kinds of counsel out there. There's all kinds of advice that you can get into. He rejects foolish or ungodly advice and counsel. He doesn't refer to astrologers or fortune tellers for advice. He doesn't go that way. He says, no way. By the way, the Bible speaks against those kinds of things. Necromancy, talking to the dead. They don't go to those things. He doesn't take that kind of advice. And by the way, he doesn't go to foolish, religious hypocrites that are going to twist the Word of God for a buck. He doesn't do that. He rejects that kind of knowledge and that kind of counsel. You can get into trouble messing around with those kinds of things. I just watched a documentary the other day about a young couple that got into an Ouija board. Started messing around with an Ouija board and got into drugs. Young couple. Had an 18-month-old baby. You know what they did? They killed that little baby. Didn't even know that they had done it. Used a hammer to kill it. And you know what happened whenever the police showed up to talk to them? They said, no, the devil did it. I think it killed itself with a hammer. You know where that young man is at right now? 23 years old, I believe. He's on death row. And he still says the baby killed itself. He said the baby was demon-possessed and killed itself. Crazy. That's what happens when you go messing around with those kinds of things. Go outside of the Word of God and start messing around with those kinds of things. Those things are dangerous. He is separate in the way that he walks. He's separate in the way that he lives his life. He doesn't take that kind of advice and put it into use in his life. You ought to be careful and separate with the way that you live your life. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, boys and girls, what kind of advice do you take this evening? The next thing, he's separate where he stands. He says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Man, he doesn't hang around. He doesn't put himself in the path of sinful people. If you don't want to get hit by a Mack truck, don't stand in the highway. Pretty simple, right? If you don't want to become a drunkard, don't stand in the way of drunkards. Stay away from those people. But you got too many people make occasion and put themselves in the path of places where they can sin. They make it easy for themselves to sin, and then it ruins their life. He says, do not stand in the way of sinners. Stay away from it. Don't give an occasion to the flesh to sin. Don't invite trouble into your house and into your life. Stay away from those kinds of things. Standing in the way of sinners. Next thing he says is, sitteth in the seats of the scornful. Now, if you're going to sit somewhere, you're going to stay for a while, aren't you? Usually when we sit around the dinner table, we're going to eat for a while. We're going to visit for a while. We're here in church, and we're sitting together. We're going to have communion for a while. You don't sit around with people that are going to influence you in the wrong way. You don't intermingle and intermarry with people that are going to influence you in the wrong way. Christians and non-Christians should not get together and marry together. Don't sit together, is what he's talking about. Don't hang out for long periods of time together. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Man, you ever known a scorner before? Somebody who's scorning the Word of God. Somebody who makes fun of the Word of God. Somebody who makes fun of Christianity. Someone who belittles God and belittles Jesus Christ. You know, stay away from those kind of folks. They're going to be a bad influence on you. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. Well, they make fun of it. Laugh about it. Boy, that sin will get you. That sin will get you. You know the story about Lot. What happened to Lot? Man, Lot refused to separate from Sodom and Gomorrah, and he lost everything because he refused to separate. The first step to happiness is to separate yourself from someone who will influence you in the wrong way. Separation. But what did Lot do? Oh, he looked out and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then later we see him sitting in the gate of Sodom, giving advice to people. And then they had to drag him out of the city because they were going to destroy the city. And he lost everything that he had because he refused to separate from those kind of folks. When a Christian refuses to separate from the world, it does not lead to happiness. You know what it's going to do? It's going to wear you down. Amen. Wear you down. That's what happened a lot. You know what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7? That Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It wore and wore and wore on him until he lost his testimony and they had to drag him out of the city. He refused to separate. The first step for happiness for a Christian is separation. Separation from bad counsel. Separation from worldly people. Separation from ungodly people. Now, I realize that we have to live in this world, and I'm not saying to go out and live like a monk. I'm not saying that. But don't let that counsel affect your life, and don't heed its advice. The next thing we see about a happy person is that he's satisfied in verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you love the Word of God? Is it something special to you? Is it something pleasurable to you? Is it valuable to you? Do you love the Word of God? Are you satisfied with the Word of God? Or do you have to go outside of the Word of God to get your satisfaction? Well, that's a bad thing. You know what Peter said? He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. He didn't say, hey, go out and find People magazine and get you some spiritual food there. He didn't say that. But yet, I think most Christians would rather read People magazine than the Word of God. If truth be told, am I lying? Probably not. Probably not. Their favorite National Geographic magazine or something like that. Is there anything wrong with National Geographic? I doubt it. But our heart ought to be set on the Word of God because that's where we get our spiritual life from. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight means pleasure or desire, something that is valuable to the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119:24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Boy, I get my advice from the Word of God, he says. I get my counsel from the Word of God. It's my delight. He says again in Psalm 119:77, thy tender mercies Come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Again, Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. That sounds like a happy man to me right there. You want happiness? Delight in the Word of God. Find your joy in the Word of God. Look at it, man. Enjoy it. Are you happy about that this evening? Joyful about the Word of God? Or would you rather be in Africa where they don't have a Bible? Would you rather be in Iran where you can't go to church? Would that make you happy? We must delight in the Word of God. The happy man doesn't go outside of the Bible to find his sustenance, to find his pleasure. The Bible is sufficient for godly living. We don't need nothing else. All we need is the Word of God. We don't need extra tradition. All we need is the Word of God. That's all we need. We don't need something dragging us away from the Word of God. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We don't need extra tradition from another church outside to tell us how to live godly. All you need to do is go to the Word of God. Amen. The Bible is sufficient for our comfort and our hope. You want some comfort and some hope this evening? The real comfort and real hope is found inside of the Word of God. Because one of these days you're going to pass this life and there's going to be something beyond this life. And the Scriptures were written to us to show us that there is hope out there. The Scriptures were written to us to show us that there is a God that loves us and cares about us. Amen. The Scriptures were written so it would help us and edify us and build us up in the faith. It says in Romans 15, verse number 4, whatsoever things that were written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have where we get some hope from the Word of God. Boy, it helps us and edifies us and builds us up and strengthens us. And man, the psalmist that wrote this, and I'm assuming it's David, loved it so much that he meditated on it day and night. Amen. Boy, all the time. That means this guy was memorizing the Word of God. Boy, what a nut, huh? I mean, crazy nut. People just don't do that nowadays. They don't memorize the Word of God. They don't meditate on it. They don't mull around in their minds. What occupies your mind during the day? I would challenge each and every one of you to get a passage of Scripture, even this one right here, and just meditate on it. Amen. Just memorize it. Hey, memorize it, man. That's the best thing that you can do. Whenever I was younger, one of the first passages that I memorized was Psalm chapter number 1. Man, it's a great passage. I challenge each and every one of you to memorize it. Amen. Then when sin comes in your life or a hard time comes in your life, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to bring that passage up to you and He's going to remind you about what He said. Amen. And it's going to bring you some comfort. Maybe it'll help you from sinning, doing something stupid. That's what the Word of God will do for you. But if we don't meditate on it and we don't look at it, I don't think that God's going to bring those things up to us. Joshua said in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's how important the Word of God is, to meditate on it, to think about it, to memorize it. The next thing we see for happiness for a person is to be strong. Are you strong here this evening? Verse number 3 tells us about it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Usually, whenever I'm sick, I am not a happy person. How about you? Anybody here jumping for joy when you get the flu? I got the flu last year for about a week and I was miserable. Man, I was not happy. And I got the flu shot too. Man, that even made me mad. See if I get the flu shot next year. You're going to be strong. If you're a strong man or woman, it's going to bring happiness to you, is it not? If you're healthy and you're bearing fruit for God and you're doing something for God and you're serving God, man, that'll bring happiness to you. What's he say right there? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God compares us to a tree, but it's not just any tree. It's not a dead tree out there in the middle of the New Mexico desert. Nothing like that. It's by a river. And there ain't no rivers around Portales, so we know he's not talking. He wasn't looking around here. Okay? He says he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Man, what happens when you plant a tree by the river? Man, the roots go down deep. Deep, and it can get a drink. And guess what? You're not going to move that tree. You're not going to move it anywhere. The high winds come, the rain comes, the hail comes. The sun beats down on it, doesn't matter one bit because it's planted by the water. Are you planted by the water here tonight? You getting yourself a good healthy drink of Jesus Christ? You getting yourself a good healthy drink of the Word of God? Are you becoming rooted and grounded in the Word of God? Becoming rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ? Because that's the only thing that will sustain you when the trouble comes. And the sun beats down on your life, and the tribulations and the trials and the hurts come, what's going to help you? It's going to be Jesus Christ. He is the one that's going to help you. Water for the Christian is Jesus and the Word of God. It says in Colossians 2:7, "And as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Established in Jesus Christ. Are you bearing fruit tonight? Is God bringing forth something in your life? And are you bearing fruit? Because he says right there, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What kind of fruit are you bearing today? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit, or are you doing the works of the flesh? Fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, good faith, meekness, temperance. Those things ought to be evident in a Christian's life. Are you bringing forth those fruit? Another thing about this tree is that it does not wither. It's an evergreen tree. It's not dead. It's alive. Christian's alive in Jesus Christ. A Christian has been brought to life by God, and you're going to keep on living all the way through. Never going to die. The last thing we see about happiness for a person is in verse number 6. And you are secure. You're secure. He says in verse number 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You know, that brings great happiness and joy to me, to know that God knows my life. God knows where I'm going. God knows where I've been. God knows all about me, and He's going to keep me. He saved me, and He's going to keep on saving me all the way to the end. You're secure in Jesus Christ. That ought to bring happiness to you here this evening. Job went through a lot of things in his life, and at one point, man, he thought, "I can't find God. I don't know where God is. Man, I look to the right, I look to the left, I can't find Him. I look behind me, I look forward, I look up, where is God? Look at all these bad things that are happening to me. Where's God in all of this?" He ended up his statement with this, "But He knoweth the way that I take." He said, man, God's right there with me. All the whole time, He was walking right beside me. I didn't even know it. Same way with you all here this evening. You may not see God, and you may question God. Man, what is going on in my life? Why are these things happening? Why are the trials and tribulations and tests coming to me? You know where God is? He's not out of sight. He's not clueless up in heaven. He doesn't know what's going on. You haven't snuck up on God. You haven't pulled a fast one. God knows all about it. And He's right there with you. And you're secure. God is with you. He knows all about it. He knoweth the way that you take. He knows who you are. Jesus Christ said in John 10, verse 27 to 29, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." I know them. "And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, 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 never perish." That's a few extra words in the Greek there that y'all didn't know about. Amen. Never perish. Now try not to smile too much, okay? Don't get too happy, all right? But God has got you, okay? Amen. And you are secure in Jesus Christ. And He loves you. That ought to bring you happiness. I read a story about a father in New Jersey that was walking across the street with his little boy, and his little boy was about that tall. And as they were crossing the street, he had a hold of the hand of his little boy, and they were walking across the street, and the little boy stumbled, and there was all kinds of traffic coming, and boy, he got his son, and he picked him up and carried him across the street. Feet weren't touching the ground. And as they got across the street, his son looked up to his daddy, and he said, "Daddy, I hold on real tight." But the truth was, the daddy held on really tight and carried him all the way. You might think that we got a good, hard grip on Jesus Christ, but guess what? Jesus Christ has got a hold of you, and as a matter of fact, you're a part of Him. You're a part of His hand. You're a part of His body. Amen. He's not going to let you go. Not ever. You're secure in Jesus Christ. It says in Jude 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Man, He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you go. No way, no how. But what about the other side of the coin? What about the other people in this story? He says in verse number 4, he says, "The ungodly are not so." They're not that way. "They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." You know what chaff is? Chaff is like the little hole on the outside of a wheat kernel that falls off of it, and they don't use it anymore, and the wind blows it away, and it's good for nothing. It's dead. That's what the ungodly are like. They're just dead, and they just go away, and nobody remembers anymore. I wouldn't want to be in that camp. I wouldn't want to be a part of the ungodly. Someone who is not pleasing to God, someone who has not been born again or saved, I wouldn't want that. But yet there are people like that. What happens to the ungodly? Verse 5 says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment." Guess what? When judgment time comes, they're not going to stand. They're not going to pass the judgment. "Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." They're going to be separated. Since they didn't separate, they're going to be separated away from the righteous. That's the end of the ungodly. What about you here this evening? What camp would you be in? Would you be in the ungodly camp, or would you be in the righteous camp? Or maybe you're not finding happiness in this life. I tell you what, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're happy all the time and you're joyful all the time and there's no problems and you never have a sad day. That's not true. Not true whatsoever. You're going to have bad days. Maybe you lost your happiness. Maybe you lost your joy. You don't know where it's at. Why don't you look back where you lost it? Look at your separation. Are you separating from ungodly counsel? Are you secure in Jesus Christ? Do you know that God loves you and that He died for you and that you are His child, if indeed you are His child? That's where true happiness is found. You're not going to find it out at the bar or some other place. It's only going to be found in God. That's where true happiness is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear God, for giving us Your Word. Thank You for saving us. Thank You, Father, for the precious promises that You have given to us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to meditate upon those words and to memorize those words and apply them to our lives. Lord, we love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.